Felix is afraid. I mean, he's a Roman governor. He could take Paul's head off, and yet he's listening to this story, and it says that he's afraid. He's having a reaction to what he's hearing. But then he turns. Look what happens at this very moment. "Go away for now," Felix says. "When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you."
Boy, we all do that, don't we? Hey, I'm live here at the Intentional Living Center. That's an excerpt from day two on a four-day series as we're talking about taking procrastination out of our life, taking good intentions out of our life, and start living our lives fully and completely and intentionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, and our careers and every area of our life. And we're using some great biblical examples to teach you how to turn good intentions into God's intentions. So we're going to get into that teaching today, along with some callers and questions on finding God's will and other great things coming up. So stay tuned. More from Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is part two of Dr. Randy's four-part teaching series entitled From Good Intentions to God's Intentions. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and we're going to get right into this teaching. I get a chance to teach my staff every week, and we share this teaching with our monthly members, and they receive all my teaching every month on CD. But today, in these 4 days, I want to share this teaching with you on good intentions to God's intentions. I'll tell you how you can receive it a little bit later. We're going to get back to the story of Felix and the decision he had to make. Is it a go or no go as he chooses to either follow or walk away? What did he do? Take a listen. So let's begin with this story here in Acts chapter 24. And I'll leave for you to read all of the verses leading up to the encounter between Felix and Paul. But at this point, Paul had already had an opportunity to share the gospel, to give a defense of his faith. Felix, this Roman governor, had an opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if the Apostle Paul could come and preach at your church? If Paul could stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning, that there'd be a revival that would break out in your congregation? Well, that isn't what happened here. Paul did just share the gospel. He shared his own story. He shared the truth of Jesus Christ and the need to be intentional in giving your life to Christ. And in verse 22, it says, "But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysia, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty." In other words, to give him some freedom to walk around the grounds and allow him some freedom in the prison. "And told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for him or to visit him." So here's Paul in prison. He's given some liberty. His friends can come and bring him his manuscripts and talk to him. And he has some level of freedom in prison, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. But here, listen, in verse 24, "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ." Here is Felix and his wife Drusilla sitting on their thrones, as it were, calling Paul in, and Paul is sharing with them. They probably were talking about, what is this thing that you call the way? What is this thing, this sect that you're a part of? Who is this Jesus Christ? And Paul is sharing the gospel with this Roman governor. Now in verse 25, "Now as he reasoned," Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, "Felix was afraid." Isn't that interesting? Isn't it something that when the Holy Spirit convicts a person of sin, there's an emotional response to it? Felix is afraid. I mean, he's a Roman governor. He could take Paul's head off, and yet he's listening to this story, and it says that he's afraid. He's having a reaction to what he's hearing. But then He turns. Look what happens at this very moment. "Go away for now," Felix says. "When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you." Chapter ends. He never called him back. Felix never called Paul back. He never made a confession of faith in Christ. He simply had a good intention, apparently. And we know if we read the next verse, he also had a bad intention because he wanted Paul to pay him off. He says he also wanted a payoff so he could get out of prison. Isn't it interesting? Paul knew that but never paid himself out. He never said, "Hey, do a collection at church so I can get off." Felix had an opportunity, and he rejected it. And that got me thinking about the process that we go through with a good intention. And let me take you through this. This is what you and I go through when we go from a good intention to procrastination in our life. The very first thing that we do is we recognize that there's a need in our life. There's something that we need, something that we recognize is an unmet part of our life. Nicodemus must have been the one of the Pharisees that said, "There's something about this story. There's a need in my life." The rich young ruler must have felt that he needed something more in his life than his riches. He was looking for eternal life. Every time that you and I have a good intention, and let's make it real practical. Every time you and I have a good intention to lose weight, every time we want to honor Christ in our marriage with a good intention, not to be so critical of our kids or our spouse. Every time we know that we want to be more intentional when it comes to our finance or growing our faith or our prayer life, we know that there's a need that's going to satisfy in our life, right? And so we see with Felix that there was some need that he must have been experiencing in his life, and that leads to the next level, which is interest. He's interested. "I want to know more. I'm interested in how this would work."
Dr. Randy will continue his teaching on Felix from his series From Good Intentions to God's Intentions in just a couple of minutes. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Don't go away. Dr. Randy's got more to help you turn your good intentions into God's intentions. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Becoming a monthly member of Intentional Living is important because you're helping Dr. Randy Carlson take the message of this ministry to others who need it. Becoming a member is critical because you keep us on the air every day. And when you become a member, you help yourself because we'll send you a practical, biblical teaching on CD from Dr. Carlson every month, a benefit enjoyed only by our monthly members. Become a member of Intentional Living today. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you'd like to ask a question about turning your good intentions into God's intentions, call our toll-free storyline at 1-888-888-1717. Now here's Dr. Randy as he wraps up this part of his teaching on Felix from the series From Good Intentions to God's Intentions.
And so we see with Felix that there was some need that he must have been experiencing in his life, and that leads to the next level, which is interest. He's interested. "I want to know more. I'm interested in how this would work." Interest eventually leads to a response. And you see this with Felix. He was interested. He called Paul in. He wanted to know more. And he listened to Paul. He was interested. But then he had a response. What was Felix's response? Fear. See? He was fearful. The rich young ruler's response was, "You expect me to give up all that I have so I can follow you?" His was fear of losing all the things he had. We don't know what Nicodemus' response was, but isn't it true every time you and I have a good intention in our life? Let's be real practical. You and I have a good intention. We have interest, we have a need, we have interest, and then all of a sudden we have a response to that. We start to lie to ourselves, we have some emotional response, something happens, and here's what we do. Here's what I'm convinced happens to us and why a good intention is, I believe, from Satan himself. We've all heard the little phrase that the path to hell is littered with what?
Good intentions.
And so what we do to make ourselves feel better, we have a good intention. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll do it later. Felix says, go away, it's not a convenient time today. I have a good intention, I'll call you back, I'd like to hear more, but for now, go away. I was thinking about what is it that causes good intentions not to be so good. Here's some things that I wrote down. Some reasons good intentions aren't good enough. Number one, good intentions aren't decisions. They're only illusions of a decision. I intend, let's just talk about something you and I deal with in our lives. I intend to grow in my faith. I intend to pray more. I intend to honor God with my body by taking better care of it. That's not a decision. That's an illusion of a decision. Number two, a good intention relieves us of guilt, but accomplishes nothing. Don't you feel better after you have a good intention? Oh, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Donna, I'm going to clean that garage next weekend. That makes me feel better. Doesn't make Donna feel better, but it makes me feel better because I've said to myself, I'm going to do that, right? I'm going to get to that next week. A good intention is all about the future, but it's disconnected from this moment in time. Doesn't require me to do anything right now. My intention is to help somebody in need. I'll do that tomorrow. Then you drive by the person in need today and do nothing. Good intentions aren't accountable to anyone. There's no accountability with a good intention. Unless I hold myself accountable, there's no sense of commitment, there's no deadline. Good intentions promise much, require little, and accomplish nothing. And then finally, a good intention is the doorway to procrastination. And I'm going to show you from Scripture in a moment what I think happens to us spiritually and psychologically at this moment in time. This is kind of a high moment. I will do this later. This is a good intention. All of us here today have good intentions, right? I mean, if I ask you all to share with me a good intention, we could all share one or two that we have that we can respond to in terms of where we are. Here's what happens. It happened to Felix, and it happens to us. We get the good intention, and then it turns, what? To busyness. Our minds start getting involved with other things. We have other priorities. We have other issues. We have other demands. Other things come in the way. Other things seem more important. Felix says, it's not convenient. Go away, and I'll call you at another time. And busyness ultimately leads to procrastination. And I could have added, after procrastination leads to what? Guilt. How many of us struggle with that? We know we're procrastinating upon a good intention, something that we ought to do, and then the guilt sets in. Satan uses that in our life. And we get in trouble every time. Now, there's a healthier path. I don't want to leave you here. You know, that's a good intention. Goodbye, go back to work. You'll all get depressed by the end of the day, you know. But let me take you through what I believe God teaches us
and I'm back
in the
live
example
here in the
of another
person. Studio. We're going to leave you hanging on that cliff as we'll get to that tomorrow on day three. What we're doing with intentional living is we're taking part of the program. I want to share teaching with you what God's Word teaches. More than anything, I want you to see that living intentionally is not just a good idea, but there's a process of doing this. There's decisions that we make that alter the course of our life. And so we'll pick up with that teaching tomorrow. And by the way, the entire series, Good Intentions to God's Intentions, is on CD, and I want to make it available to you as our monthly members have all, you know, received my teaching on an ongoing basis. I want you to receive this as you share the best gift you can with the ministry today. We'll send this to you, whatever God lays on your heart. If you join me monthly here at Intentional Living, you'll receive all of my teaching. All of that you hear on the air will come out in two CDs every month, as it does to about 3,500 members now. All you have to do is share that best gift today, and God bless you. We really can use your help here in these summer months, and I want to get this teaching to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And then also, speaking of summer, we've got a summer break date event for couples coming to the Valley in Phoenix, in Mesa and Glendale, actually, on Friday night and Saturday night, July 15 and 16. It'll be the evening on Friday and Saturday afternoon in Glendale. And then I'm going to be in Michigan on the 23rd of July for a Saturday morning marriage conference at Youth Haven Ranch. And you can register for both of these. So let me go through that again. The Intentional Love Marriage Conference, where we're going to unpack what it means to have an intentional love. That's a process. If you're experiencing a little bit of frustration, procrastination, a little chaos, maybe you want more intimacy, more you know, resolving issues, you want closer communication, you want to grow in your marriage, this is what the Intentional Love Marriage Conference is all about. You're going to learn as we laugh together and we share stories. Johnny and Stacy Stone from Family Life Radio will be with me in Mesa and Glendale. Again, Friday night, July 15th, 7 o'clock in Mesa. Saturday afternoon in Glendale, July 16th. Same conference, two different locations. And then the following weekend, Saturday morning, July 23rd, at Youth Haven Ranch in Rives Junction, Michigan. And you can get your tickets today. Limited seating. We'd love to have you come and be a part of it. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and get registered today. And thank you for standing with us. Hey, we got some more coming up here in a minute. Some callers, questions we'll get to here at Intentional Living.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I heard the topic of aha moments, and I just had to dial in and share my story. I became a Christian about 6 years ago, and I was in the military on a deployment. So God found me my furthest point away from home and at my lowest point spiritually and all of that. But I was assigned to a country just north of Afghanistan that, while all this is going on, I'm being invited to church by another airman. And we worked out together, and we ate together, and we slept together. And I decided, you know, this guy, he's all right. I'll go to a Bible study. Very, very reluctantly. I got into a little trouble over there. And as a result of that, I just was coming to a screeching halt of, I can't live this lifestyle anymore. God, I can't fix myself of sin and all of these things, and if what your word says is true, I'm absolutely hopeless. And so I was October 22nd, 2006, I was praying by myself in my bunk room. Lord, if you're real, I confess I absolutely need you. And he showed up. I don't know how else to explain it other than that. He just came in the room, and I wept, and I threw my combat boots on and ran out the door in my underwear, pounded on Applegate's door. It was the guy that invited me to church, and he wasn't there. So I spent that night, first night alone with Jesus. Since then, God's made me a leader in the church, and I've got a beautiful wife, 3 years, and a son. We're just thriving on Jesus and local church life. It's just been a blast. Peaks and valleys, but we're moving forward. Thanks, Dr. Amy Carlson. God bless you. Bye.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. Finding your faith, finding Christ, in his case, you know, literally on the battlefield. And maybe your case, the battlefield's right here at home, maybe in your marriage, your family, your life, your relationships. But if you don't know him, listen, the best decision, the most intentional thing you could do today is to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
One of the things here at the Intentional Living Center is our storyline. We get lots of people who share stories, comments, and questions, and I wanted to share a few of those with you. Let's take the first one, Steve.
Hello, I had a question in regards to knowing God's will for your life. If you believe that you know what God's will is for your life, it's actually for my husband, because he felt he was called to a specific thing, did that for some years, and then has gradually gotten out of it due to circumstances that have happened to us. And now we are confused as to what God wants for us now. Where do we go from there?
Wow, it's an interesting question. There's a lot of nuances there that we would need to dig into to understand if there's some things going on that haven't been resolved in your marriage, your relationship, you know, whatever the challenges have been that need to get resolved before you can really open a new door to go in a new direction. Sometimes we try to move ahead and leave the stuff behind, you know what I'm saying? We leave unfinished business, challenges, and so on. And what happens is we can't run from our past. So if there's some things in the past that need to be dealt with, I would deal with those first. Then as a couple to really pray and seek God and make sure there's been healing from what you've been through, because sometimes a lack of just healing in your mind, your emotions, the discouragement and disappointment keep you from really seeing what God has next. So pray together. I would encourage you to get some good counseling. Thank you for sharing that on our comment line. Here's another one.
Hi, my name is Andrea. I am new in my walk with Christ, and part of the reason was because I was raised by two scientists who believe in evolution, so I wasn't raised in the church. I had a few opportunities to go when I was younger, and looking back on those opportunities, I think that those are pretty important. But now that I have two children of my own, I was wondering, how do I explain to them when somebody else doesn't believe in Christ? Because I know that that's something that I struggled with growing up, watching other people go to church and then having them tell me that my parents weren't going to end up in the same place that I was going to end up in if I believed in Christ, and they didn't. So having a son that's 5 who goes to a Christian school, I know that that's going to be a question that comes up eventually. So I just wanted to know how to best deal with that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Andrea, thank you for sharing that question today. And I hear your heart. And I think sometimes we can run ahead of ourselves in terms of all the questions that we can't get answered in life. When he asks questions later about this and other things, life is full of questions. And I think as a smart mom or dad, there are times you say, you know, we need to pray about that. We need to just study Scripture. Let me think about that. Let's get into the Bible and see what Jesus had to say or what the Scripture has to say about that situation. The best thing I can encourage you, Andrea, is to simply live your faith before that child. Let your faith be so real that God is so real in your life that it's making a difference. When you do that, that's the best gift you can give to him. All right, I think we have time for just one more. Steve, let it roll.
You know, I've been through the roads where I look up to God and say, so is it really what you want me to do? And I feel like I've never really got an answer that pleases my human soul. Normally, whichever road I take, I'm able to explain to myself, sometimes days later or weeks later, the reason why I took those roads. And I'm always informed that, hey, God had a hand in the decisions that I made or what I'm doing or where I'm at. So it's not always the most pleasant human feeling when I make those choices, but at the end, for some reason, I have his hand pointing back and saying, now you see why I did this for you, or you see why I asked you to take this step. Bye.
Yeah, that's really turning good intentions into God's intentions. When you get to a point of decision, if I heard you right, I think you're saying sometimes I got to make tough decisions, things that don't necessarily feel good or the best, you know, like I really want to do this. I'm outside my comfort zone, but I'm acting intentional because I believe that's what God has for me in this situation. And I think the second thing you say, it's really powerful, and I hadn't really thought about it in a while, and that is looking to the past, we can learn from it. I made a decision back then I thought was God's will. Was it? And if it wasn't, then what went wrong there? It's not God. It had to be something in my thinking. Being straight and looking in the rearview mirror to learn, you know, where did I mess up? Where did I get off base? Because God certainly didn't.
And I'm going to make it a point to intentionally practice my step 11 in the AA program to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And I'm going to make it intentional to follow Christ better.
Lately, I realized that I'm not going to ever believe the lie that I can't turn back to God. No matter what I've done, I am intentionally always going to turn back to God and always pray to Him and always give it back to Him.
My fear is of taking that full step, dedicating myself fully to God and being intentionally with Him and doing all the things that one should do for Him. My biggest fear is I want to do that, but I can't seem to pull myself to do it.
I just want to make a decision to intentionally try to get closer to God, and I hope God will intentionally protect me and take care of me and save me.
Boy, there is so much in what I heard there. Wish I had time to unpack with those stories. I would just say to all of us in our attempts to be intentional in our lives, remember, this is not about just trying to earn God's more love or favor. I mean, He loves us unconditionally. The scripture is clear that there's not a thing that we can do, no matter how intentional or unintentional we are, to change His love for us. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 2 that, you know, we've been saved by grace and by faith. It's not by works. It's nothing that we can do to earn this. It's all of His intentional love for us. And so I would just encourage you to stay focused on loving Him, being intentional in your love for Him, and then out of that will flow these other things that we do, right? Not just trying to work our way to so God will love us better. That misses the point. Hey, listen, we got a minute here, and I want to say thanks to all those of you who support the ministry. Thank you for standing with us. Connie, thank you for your call and joining us from Avondale, Arizona. Luann, thank you from Saginaw. Thomas from Perry, Georgia. Just some of the folks who've recently joined us. Your support allows us to do this, and come and join us and be a part of this. And a reminder that the entire series, Good Intentions to God's Intentions, is our gift to you as you share a gift with the ministry today. Go to theintentionallife.com and hit donate. By the way, also a reminder, the Intentional Love Marriage Conference coming to Mesa on Friday night, July 15. Glendale, Saturday afternoon, July 16, and Michigan at Youth Haven Ranch on Saturday morning, July 23rd. Limited seating. Get your tickets today. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on events or the rotating tile there and get registered. Hey, we're going to continue this series again tomorrow, and I'm going to turn to one of my favorite characters from the Old Testament, Nehemiah. Come and join us. We'll see you here at Intentional Living.